In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all Saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We're on part two. Luisa and the Reentering of the Womb of the Celestial Father in the Divine Will. We are on, this is the fifth talk. We're on page 13. Volume 26, 5, 16, 19, 28. My daughter, what's wrong? What's wrong? Calm yourself. Calm yourself. So here Jesus sees Luisa being upset. And he says, how can this be? Do you perhaps want to go out from within the army of my divine will? So he's talking about the Lord's army. What does this mean? Okay, so look, what an orderly, formidable, and large army, such that as it lines up within your soul, it shall not be easy for you to get out. So he says, what God has done with her, her being upset, it's not going to be easy for her to get out of this. He says, but do you know what this army is? All the knowledges about my divine will. In fact, having formed its royal place in you, Luisa, it could not be, nor was it decorous for the divine will to be without its army. The royal place that God formed was within Luisa. Okay? And he says it's very, very important that he has an army, that this army conquers. What does it conquer? It conquers the human will. So he says, this army we have issued from our divine womb in order for them to form the cortege to defend and to all stand at attention so as to make known to everyone who our fiat is, their divine king, and how it wants to descend with its whole celestial army into the midst of the peoples in order to fight the human will, but not with weapons that kill, because in heaven there aren't these deadly weapons, but weapons of light that fight in order to form the life of my most holy divine will in the creatures. So here, Jesus says the knowledges that he has given Luisa throughout the 36 volumes, the truths that he has given to Luisa is his army. And they're weapons of light, divine light, that will form God's most holy divine will in the soul who reads them, who studies them, who puts them into practice. See, there is a way that we have to live, and that is to begin to recognize that this great gift of the divine will, we have to it has to become a priority in our life. Volume 20, again, this is volume 26. Now Jesus is showing Luisa how to receive the divine inheritance of the Father. And he's talking about this beautiful army of light, the weapons of light, which are the truths that he revealed to Luisa and that we are now reading. Volume 26, 521, 1929. How many and what effects does the sun not produce? Because its light is so great as to embrace the whole earth. It can be said that it is the king of the earth, and with its light and with its heat, it caresses everyone. It embraces everything, and it does good to everyone, and without asking from anything from anyone. Why? First, because it does not need anything. Second, because all would feel impotent to repay the sun for the great good that the sun does to all the earth. So this is why you, Luisa, feel within yourself two infinite powers fused into one, my most holy divine will and my divine love. And the divine light of my will makes you run and makes you place your I love you in that it unleashes from its womb of light upon all created things so as to see the whole of creation bejeweled with its I love you and yours. So here, the two things, two infinite powers, this is what Jesus is showing us, is the divine will and God's divine love. He wants us to enter into this divine will so that we can experience the divine love of God. And it says, this divine will makes you run to a place where I love you in all that is in creation, all that is in redemption, in all created things. Why? As to see the whole creation bejeweled with its I love you and yours. It's the I love you we breathe in, the I love you of God and the divine will we breathe out. It's mutual love. It's divine love. Because of this great gift of the divine will. In addition to this, life needs nourishment, and my divine will is life. My love is food. So we're beginning to see the food that Jesus ate. We're beginning to see the food that the Blessed Mother ate. We're beginning to understand this food that Adam had was the love of God. And we can understand that now Louisa is eating this first bread, this food, which is, he says, my love is food. My divine will is life. So he says, each I love you of yours is a sip of nourishment that you give to my fiat within you. So here, this I love you is what Louisa breathes in, and it's her food. And the I love you that she gives out is food for the divine fiat. Each act of yours done in my most holy divine will makes the life of the divine will grow within you. And oh, how the life of my divine will delights and grows admirably in the creature when it finds much divine love, when it finds much food. Do you see what Jesus is doing? He's saying, I'm going to teach you a new way. A new way to feed yourself, a new way to feed God. It can be said that my fiat finds its food, my love finds its life. So here, the Lord is showing us a new way to begin to live. Again, this is how Adam lived in the womb of the Father. This is how Jesus lived. This is how Mary lived. And the whole reason for the Holy Eucharist is for us to begin to understand this sacrament of love, the sacrament of life, and we receive this bread, the super substantial bread of the Holy Eucharist as our food, and for that 15 minutes, we're in communion with God until the host dissolves. But the perennial communion is what God wants for us. This is what he has chosen for us. He's asking us to begin to live this abundant life. How magnificent is this? So this I love you is what God is asking of us. So he says very clearly, how the life of my divine will delights and grows admirably in the soul, Louisa, and now our souls, when it finds much divine love. It can be said that my fiat finds its food and my love finds its life. Do you see what God is doing? He's trying to teach us a new and divine way of holiness, as Pope St. John Paul II told us we're going to begin to live. Volume 26, 4, 1929. My daughter, as the soul keeps operating in my divine volition, so does it expand more within the creature, in such a way that for each additional act done in the divine will, as much more growth does it form within the soul. And so the divine life can be seen growing in the soul in an admirable way. It's to begin to live the way God wanted in his image and likeness. But this is not all. As the divine life grows in the creature, the more acts that the soul does, the more rounds that she does, in my divine fiat, the more the creature grows within the womb of her celestial father, more and more life, light, and love is growing in that soul. the more that they do their acts and the rounds on earth before you die. The Supreme Being opens his womb and encloses it in it, this happy creature, and raises her, Louisa, in a divine manner, and closes Louisa with royal garments to feed her the food with their own hands, to embellish her with rare beauty. Royal garments, divine food, rare beauty. It's to begin to live that divine masterpiece that God wants to create in each and every one of us. All of heaven remains amazed. All of heaven remains enraptured in seeing that in their Creator, that their Creator raises a creature within his womb. And the angels and the saints in heaven say among themselves, God must be doing something great with Louisa. For he loves Louisa so much, and he keeps Louisa in such great custody as to raise Louisa within his paternal womb. Something beautiful is happening here. The angels and the saints recognize this. This is how Our Lady lived. This is how our Lord lived. And now a human born of original sin is beginning to live this way. He must be doing something great with this little one. And that's what God wants to do with us. The more that we link ourselves to Louisa, the more that we read and study and put this into practice, the more God's going to do this for us before we die, as we are living right now. And everyone awaits the full growth of this little creature, Louisa Picaretta, to see what shall become of her. And then Jesus says this, Therefore, the prodigy of living in my most holy divine will is unique. The prodigy of living in my holy divine will, it communicates such power to Louisa, the one who lives in it, and us who are linked to Louisa, who want to live in it, that Louisa enters everywhere. And God himself loves and wants to raise Louisa within his divine womb. And God himself wants to love and raise us within his divine womb. See, this is why in the divine will we give our fiat. Lord, let it be done to me as you wish, as you say, as you want. Why do we want to live in the divine will? Because God wants us to. It's not for us. It's for the glory of God. And he will bring about the salvation, sanctification of souls. Volume 26, 6, 9, 1929. My abandonment in the divine fiat is continuous, and its light eclipses my little intelligence so much that, this is Louisa speaking, that I can do nothing else but think now about one truth, now about another, concerning the most holy divine will. If the divine will is the principle of our life, this is what we're doing too. We can do nothing else but think about one truth, one promise, one knowledge that Jesus has given to Louisa in the 36 volumes, and about another concerning this gift of gifts, this prodigy of prodigies. Our Lord is saying, how important is this to you? It's very important to him. And he says, I will give you as much as you want. But if it's not the priority of your life, how can God give this to us? And Louisa says, and the more I think about it, the more beautiful and majestic it makes itself before me. And that's what happens when you read. You're overwhelmed by the beauty and the majestic life that God is showing us before us. And with an unspeakable love, more than a tender mother, it opens its womb of light and delivers a birth of light to enclose it in his little daughter. See, the more you think about it, the more beautiful and majestic it makes itself before us. And with unspeakable love, more than a tender mother, it opens its womb of light and delivers a birth of light to enclose it in each and every one of us. what God has done with Louisa, he says, I want you also to possess this as much as you want or as little as you want. God wants us to be filled with this. My divine will is pregnant, Jesus says, with so many divine lives, of so many beauties, and of so many goods that the divine will wants to give to souls. It would want to pour its own self out in order to enclose within us, within the little children of the holy divine will, us creatures within its womb of light, and make each of us a prodigy of divine sanctity, of divine beauty, one distinct from the other, to form its heaven on earth. See, God wants us to begin to live heaven on earth by reading and studying and putting into practice the truths that he gave to Louisa. It's for us. It's hers. But Jesus says, I want an army of little children of the holy divine will. I want this. But the human will opposes this, and my fiat feels the intense pain, more than a mother when she cannot deliver her child to the light. And so this is why Louisa, my daughter, my divine will wants to make itself known. It wants to form its kingdom because these children belong to it. The little children of the holy divine will belong to this kingdom. We belong to this. This is why God created us. This is why he has predestined us to live at this time. He says, because these children belong to it and shall live voluntarily within and of its light. And these little children of the most holy divine will shall remain with their mouths open to receive its kisses, to receive its embraces, to receive its affections in order to form its divine life in them. We are those little birds with their mouths open, wanting to be fed. We're longing to be fed. We're striving to eat this food, this love of God in all of creation and all of redemption. This is our Lord is asking us. He's pleading with us. Would you be willing to give your fiat? Then, yes, shall be the prodigies that my volition knows how to do and can do be seen. Yes, it's going to be seen. How? By us with our mouths open, with us wanting to be fed this food of love, of life, of light. And then Jesus says, everything shall be transformed and the earth shall become heaven. There is nothing to worry about. Jesus tells us this. Yes. Shall the prodigies that my holy divine will know how to do and can do will be seen. Everything shall be transformed and the earth shall become heaven. And then the sun that is there under the vault of the heavens, and then the sun of my most eternal divine will shall hold hands. Even more, they shall engage in a contest to see which one can make more prodigies. The sun for the earth, or my most holy divine will for souls. Think of what the sun does. All the flowers, all the fruit, all the vegetables, all that exists on earth. He says, my holy divine will is going to do more than what you can see in creation. More than what you can see in redemption. Combined, Jesus says. Because sanctification is greater than creation and redemption combined. That's where God is calling us to live. But my most holy divine will shall make a greater display, so much so as to form a new enchantment of divine prodigies, of divine beauties, never before seen for the whole of heaven and for all of the earth. Treasures and secrets that the angels don't even know of, he's saving for his children. The little children of the most holy divine will. He's saving these for us. And he's asking us, I give you the book of heaven, Jesus says to us. I want you to to read this, to study this, to put this into practice, to begin to live these knowledges, these truths that I have given to Louisa. Jesus says, I want them to be yours. He has great plans. Volume 27, 12:16, 1929. My daughter, there is no order, there is no rest, nor true life, but in my divine fiat. There's no order, there's no rest, there's no true life except in the divine will. In fact, the life of the creature, her first act of life, is formed within the womb of her Creator, and then, as a birth from us, Triune God, we, Triune God, put it out into the light of day. And since we have within ourselves the generative virtue, as a child of ours, it carries with itself the seed that generates. And with this seed, the creature forms many other births for every thought, word, and deed, every act that you do. And as she keeps carrying them out in her life, she forms the birth of her holy thoughts, of her chaste words, of the beautiful enchantment of her works. Do you see what's happening? Thoughts, words, and deeds. Of the sweet treading of her steps, the refulgent rays of her heartbeats. And as all these births are formed from the creature, they take their way to ascend to their Creator, to recognize God as their Father, to love God as their Father, to surround God as their Father as by a cortege, and to form His long offspring as our divine glory and that of our generative virtue, Jesus says. Everything is going to take place. God wins. But in order for our generative virtue to fundicate, he says it takes our divine will dominating in the birth that comes out of, us, Triune God. Otherwise, there is the danger for it to be transformed into a brute or to lose the virtue generative of good. And if it generates passions, weaknesses, and vice. See, it's this is where we are now, living in our human will. It generates passions, weaknesses, and vice. And these not only do not have the virtue of ascending to us, Triune God, but on the contrary, they are condemned as births that do not belong to us, Triune God. You see what Jesus is saying? He's saying, I'm tired of the way you're living. I know how you live, Jesus says. I know what you think. I know what you say. I know what you do. He says, I want you to return to your origin, to begin to live a life that I have always planned for you. Volume 27, 12:18, 1929. After this, my poor mind was wandering within the love of my sweet Jesus, and I saw before me a great wheel of light burning more than fire that contained many rays for as many creatures as come out and shall come out into the light of the day. So here Jesus is saying this great wheel of light burning more than a fire contained many rays for as many souls that have been born and will be born. And these rays invest each creature, and with sweet enchantment, sweet enrapturing strength, captured these children into their center of the great wheel of light, where there was Jesus. Jesus was waiting for them from the womb of His love in order to devour them and to make them die, not to make them die, but to enclose them within His little humanity, so as to make them become reborn, to grow and to nourish them with His devouring flames, to give them new life, a life all of love. Remember, I told you what's coming is fire. It's the fire of the love of Jesus, the fire of the love of Mary. God wants to, He says very clearly, to devour them. He's so much in love with us. He says to enclose them within His humanity, to make them become reborn and to grow and to nourish them with this devouring fire of His Sacred Heart in the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Why? To give them new life, a life all of divine love. See, we have no idea of how much God loves us. We are fallen so far, even though Jesus has redeemed us and Our Lady co-redeemed with Christ at Calvary. We have no idea how much He loves us. We don't spend enough time in front of the Blessed Sacrament. We don't spend enough time looking at Christ crucified. So He says, I'm going to give you a way to set your hearts on fire. I'm going to give you the book of heaven. And I'm going to teach you. And I'm going to lead you. I'm going to guide you. I'm going to direct you to Me, Jesus says. That's why He gave you the book of heaven. Volume 27, 1:10, 19:30. Therefore, Jesus says, even though all belong to us, but in how many different ways, only the one, Louisa, who lives in our divine will, lives in our midst. And He's saying, would you link yourself to Louisa? Would you begin to want to live in the divine will so that you can live in the midst of God? Our divine fiat brings Louisa to us and on its lap of light into the most innermost divine womb. Nor can we, Triune God, put Louisa outside of ourselves. In order to do that, we, Triune God, would have to put our divine will outside of ourselves, and we cannot do that, nor do we want to do that. On the contrary, we are very happy to have Louisa. And He says, we're waiting. He said, Jesus says, He's waiting for us, linked to Louisa. Why? To cuddle her as our dear memory. And then our love, overflowing, issued in the creation, wanting the souls to live in our divine inheritance of the divine will and to amuse herself with her Creator with her innocent smiles. And if you, Louisa, if you see yourself little, it is the exuberant love of My fiat that is all attention and jealous over you, that concedes you not one of your human will. Therefore, the human has no growth, but you feel yourself always little. And He says, and this is because My holy divine will wants to form its life in your littleness, our nothingness. He loves to do miracles with nothing. He's God. And when the divine life grows, the human life has no reason to grow. Therefore, you must content yourself with the remaining always little. Little. As Father Bucci says, to live in the divine will, you have to be little, insignificant, and hidden. To live in the divine will, you must be little, insignificant, and hidden in our nothingness. Volume 27, 1:16, 19:30. In fact, in the works that come out from within the divinity, it is always our divine will that takes on the active role, though all of our divine being concurs together. Because our divine will has the directing and operating virtue and office of all our works. Just as you have hands in order to operate and feet in order to walk, and if you want to operate, you do not make use of the feet, but of the hands, though all your being is concurred in the work that you want to do. So it is with our divine being. There is not one part of us, Triune God, that does not concur. But our divine will takes on the directing and operating role, more so since it's dwelling in our divinity. Its life flows within our divine womb. It is our life. And while it goes out of our divine womb, that is, it goes out, it remains. And it carries outside of ourselves the creative virtue of what it wants to do, what it wants to direct, and what it wants to preserve. So here, what Jesus is showing us is He has this all planned. He says, more so, since the dwelling of our divinity, it's divine life that flows from within our divine womb. That's what God wants us to come back to. Divine life. Again, remember what the priest says every day at Holy Mass. May we share in the divinity of Christ as Christ humbled himself to share in our humanity. It's a new beginning that's coming. And Jesus has, he saved the best for last. And this is what our Lord is offering to us. Vine 27, 1, 26, 19, 30. My daughter, all created things by virtue of my divine will, in which they live, perceive when my divine volition wants to manifest a truth that belongs to it, a knowledge about it, or wants to do one of its works. Okay, so here it is. All created things by virtue of my divine will, in which everyone lives, everything lives, perceives when my divine volition wants to manifest a truth that belongs to it, manifests a knowledge about it, or wants to do one of its works. It's shown by everything that is around us. God is doing this, okay? So he says very clearly here, whoops. And since the divine will that dominates all creation is one, souls feel within themselves the communicative and creative and persevering virtue that wants to operate and make itself known. Therefore, they feel as if another sister were added into their midst, and they celebrate the newcomer. Okay, so he's talking about in everything. Divine will is in everything. The leaves on the tree, the blades of grass, the grains of sand, the stars in the heavens, the drops of water in the ocean. They feel within themselves the communicative and creative persevering virtue that wants to operate and make itself known. They feel as if another sister, Luisa, was added to their midst, and they want to celebrate this newcomer, this human who is now living in the divine will. And that's what's going to happen to us. When God says, let it be done, okay, and we begin to live in the divine will, we will hear, see, smell, taste, and touch the I love yous of all of creation. We will begin to experience all the I love yous that surround us. That's heaven. Paradise is everything is the I love you of God. It's the divine will, he says. Everything is I love you. And then we participate in breathing back an I love you to every leaf on a tree, every blade of grass, every grain of sand. So God is saying, they recognize Luisa now, but as the newcomer. They celebrate Luisa now as the newcomer, but they're waiting for us. So each word Jesus says that I have spoken to you, Luisa, my divine volition has been a fiat pronounced by us, triune God, that has come out like a child from the womb of our will. Every word is a new divine life, Jesus says. Every truth is a new divine life. He wants us to breathe in this I love you, and then be able to breathe out this I love you. See, we have to begin to see things from a divine perspective. A human perspective says, well, that's nonsense, that doesn't happen. Divinely, it does, Jesus says, and I want you to begin to think this way, to live this way. This fiat is the same fiat that, as that of creation, informing its echo, makes its vital strength felt there where our holy, most holy divine will resides. That has to begin to reside in us. This is what Jesus is waiting for. It happens when our divine fiat wants to operate, wants to pronounce itself by making itself known and manifest more of its truths, as to a family when they see that their mother is about to give birth to another little child, to other little children. The whole family celebrates. You see, if we had listened to Humani Vitae, we would know what human life is about. The whole family celebrates because the family. This is the amazing thing. Because the family, when they see that their mother is about to give birth to other little children, another little brother or sister, they make feasts. They're in festivity and delight in the one newly arrived in their midst. Such is their creation. such as the creation. They rejoice in another child. They celebrate another child. And because of listening to Lucifer, Satan, the zero population out there. You know, the schools close. There's no children. God says, you don't want life? Fine. Then you won't have life. I just read an article today. It says that the white population is disappearing throughout the whole world. Why? Because we're the ones that use contraception. We're the ones that are promoting abortion. God says, you don't want to exist? Then you are not going to exist. And since they come out of the womb of my divine will, all my works form one family and are so bound among themselves that it seems that one cannot live without the other. That's what Jesus is longing for. That we cannot live without each other. This is the great gift of the divine will. We can't live without God. We can't live without one another. And every soul, see, Jesus says to Louisa, everything that I have done in creation is a work of God. The only life of God is a human soul. And the evil one says, don't give birth. The evil one says, abort. You know, save the world, save the fish, save the oceans, but don't save life, destroy it. He hates God. He hates the children of God. And we have to really stand up as Catholics and say, no more. We're not going to follow this. We're going to follow what Jesus wants. We're going to read. We're going to study. We're going to put into practice the truths that Jesus gave to Louisa. And we're going to begin to live this life. What is the life? All of my works form one family and are so bound among themselves that it seems that one cannot live without the other. My divine will keeps them so united as to render them inseparable because they feel that one is the will that dominates them all. It's God's will. It's God's most holy divine will. It really is a new beginning for all creation. And Jesus is looking at us, the ones that he has given the book of heaven to, and he says, will you begin to live this? Will you begin to let the divine will reign? And what is that? That means we, with our powers, our three powers, our intellect, memory, and will, we begin to think with the mind of Christ. That's what the church teaches. We begin to remember Jesus and Mary. Not what of about us. We're nothing. And then he says, and then we surrender our human will. We sacrifice our human will so the divine will take its place. Now think about sacrifice. It doesn't mean I won't do it. It's sacrifice your human will. This is what Jesus is looking for. And we're going to get into this in a little bit. And it's going to be a glorious time. The Lord has got everything planned. Nothing to worry about, nothing to fear, nothing to be anxious about. God wins. Our Lady is going to be triumphant. And the triumph of the Blessed Mother is that we become like her Son. That's her triumph. And pray the rosary, wear the scapular, go to Holy Mass, spend time with the Blessed Sacrament. This is indeed a glorious time to live and to dive into this book of heaven. So we're done with part two, and we'll begin part three with the next talk of Louisa in re-entering the womb of the Celestial Father. And it gets more and more beautiful as we get deeper and deeper into the writings. So we'll end there in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.